Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Well, it is Bowerly and Bellavia, and, you know, apparently David has just decided to leave the show. Oh, wait a minute. There he is. Hey, the two of us are back, and we are in the saddle. David, good to see you again, man, and you're like a sight for sore eyes.
Good to see you. Just in time for the big storm.
Just in time for the big storm. Is your microphone on? Because
it should be.
All right, let me. I'm going to have to adjust my headphones then because apparently. There we go.
Yeah.
Always, it's always.
You know, that was the problem for the last 3 days. I was here and the microphone wasn't working.
I didn't want to tell anybody that, but you are. Like,
when am I going to get a word in edgewise?
Well,
it was a great series of shows, though. You did very, very well.
I'd rather be lucky than good, and a lot of things just kind of fell into my lap. We did a program, well, not the whole show, but we spent some of the show talking about medical marijuana. And ladies and gentlemen, at first I thought this was an urban myth, that if you get a medical marijuana card, you will lose your pistol permit and any firearms you own. So I thought to myself, this sounds like one of those urban myths that goes around that is just out to get a visceral reaction from me and get me to share the fake news. But I did a little research into it, and lo and behold, ladies and gentlemen, it is absolutely true. If you get a medical marijuana card, because of regulations promulgated and affirmed by the ATF during the Obama administration, guess what? You will lose your pistol permit. You will lose your firearms, even if weed is legal medicinally. So certainly, if weed is legal recreationally, under current regulations, you will forfeit your Second Amendment right. And if you can forfeit a right, isn't it really more like a privilege? And they got together last night to talk about this, the 1791 Society. And joining us right now from the 1791 Society, we have the one, the only, and retired town of Hamburg detective, member of Team Bowerly, Frank Panasuk. Frank, thanks very much for being with us.
You're welcome, Tom.
First of all, the 1791 Society is called the 1791 Society. Why?
Well, the Bill of Rights, the entire Bill of Rights, including the Second Amendment, was ratified on December 15, 1791. And it's been in effect since then, and that's how we chose the name of our group. We're here to defend the Second Amendment and all of the Bill of Rights due to the encroachment we're receiving from a lot of different sources.
Now, Frank, you had the meeting last night after your appearance on Bowerly and Bellavia. Tell us what happened at last night's meeting to protect our Second Amendment rights.
Well, it was a great meeting. We had approximately 175 people attending the meeting. We had over 35 people join the association, and we still have more membership applications coming in today. We had five speakers at the meeting last night, including Erie County Sheriff Tim Howard, Senator Pat Gallivan, Assemblyman David DiPietro, Erie County Comptroller Stefan Mihailu. We had a number of good speakers there. It was a tremendous meeting. We had a lot of interest from the public. A lot of people are fired up about this, and these people are proving that New York State residents are not going to allow the governor to destroy Second Amendment rights in this state.
Now, specifically as regards, we'll take these one by one. As it regards even medical marijuana and weed, now that is something we can't really lay at the doorstep of Andrew Cuomo because that is a federal policy under ATF. What was that a big part of last night's meeting?
Yes. Also speaking at the meeting was Alan Brown, who's the acting director of the Erie County Pistol Permit Bureau. And both Sheriff Howard and Mr. Brown addressed the situation. You know, everybody's hands are tied here by the law. The law has to be followed. You have bad laws. You have evolving laws. They're going to have to reconcile this situation between the federal government and the various states. The states are starting to legalize this marijuana. The federal laws were written for a long time ago before this substance started to become legal. And it's in a state of flux. It's going to have to be adjusted because people are going to inadvertently lose their rights to own a firearm unless they correct the situation.
And to get that situation corrected, it would have to be corrected at the federal level. Is that an issue over which President Trump can sign an executive order? Does the ATF have the authority to unilaterally say, due to the changing marijuana laws in the interest of justice, this is no longer applicable? Who's got the final say in this at the federal level?
That's a good question. I think any one of those, the president, the ATF, the attorney general, they're all going to have to get on the same page. I don't believe it would require an act of Congress, but I'm not sure on that. I don't believe so because there are ATF policy regulations that are instituted. So when they organize this 4473 form, the affidavit you signed for the background check for the purchase of a firearm, they seem to change this form every 2 or 3 years. It's constantly being updated, changed, adjusted. So they're going to have to do it. They're going to have to get on the same page and get this form properly set up.
But in the meantime, Frank, I think it's important, and with all apologies to my dear friend, Dr. Laszlo Metzler with the Dent, if you are a gun owner, do not, I repeat, do not get a medical marijuana card, because as it stands right now, you literally have to make a choice between your medicine the doctor wants you to have and your Second Amendment rights. The bottom line is, right now, if you get yourself a medical marijuana card, you will have to say goodbye to the ownership of firearms.
But listen, though, this is not just a medical marijuana problem. This is anything that has to do with mental health. This is the complete hypocrisy of what New York State is trying to do. If you have any condition that you go and you want to better yourself, you want to go on medication, they're going to come after that too. We've been hearing this with veterans, with post-traumatic stress. We've been hearing it with people that are victims of trauma. You go, you sit down with someone, you get diagnosed with anything. Everyone wants to take away the stigma of mental health, unless, of course, you're a gun owner. And then if you're a gun owner, you're supposed to what? Not go to the doctor, not take your meds, not do whatever, because that will lead you to have to forfeit something the founding fathers wanted us to have all the way back in 1791. Frank?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I heard just today from an individual who was severely injured falling off of a roof, and he has to deal with pain management, and he has a pistol permit, and he contacted me and said, is this going to affect my pistol permit, the prescription drugs? And, you know, people have gone to a physician because they've had a death in the family. They've lost a spouse or a child, and they've gone for a medication to help them get over this bereavement, and all of a sudden they're in violation of a regulation preventing them from taking these drugs and having a pistol permit. It's a bad situation. It's just not good. It's something that they brought into this, and I kind of look at it as Are they doing this as a fringe benefit to prevent people from owning more firearms? I have to question that.
So why don't we set up a sanctuary city and just say, listen, your SAFE Act, your laws in New York State, they don't apply to constitutional-loving Western New Yorkers. We don't want to do this anymore. Just like sanctuary cities and sanctuary counties and sanctuary states will not enforce federal immigration laws, why do we have to allow dictators in Albany and New York City? It's a totally different part of the state. You know, whether it's a rifle or it's a handgun, we don't have the same concerns that they have in high populated areas like New York City. You want to pass your laws for the cities?
Yep.
Go ahead and do it. Why can't we be a sanctuary county?
And Frank, let's just take this one step further. When you brought up the idea of psychotropic medications that some people need to deal with post-traumatic stress or other issues like that, that, you know, they're not a danger to themselves. They're not a danger to others. They just want to feel better. There's a lot of police officers who take antidepressants and psychotropic medications. Are they going to be taken off of active duty because they take Wellbutrin?
Good question. That's been brought up. I even discussed that with a doctor, and you know, he just kind of shook his head and said, "Well, you know, they're pushing these reports on these medications." He says, there's going to be a lot of policemen that aren't going to be able to carry a gun. So,
where are the numbers coming from the state that show that people that commit gun violence are under the influence of marijuana?
I don't think they have them. I don't think they really know what's going on. The marijuana situation in Colorado, everybody's kind of watching Colorado because it's a model to see what's coming. I was just reading an article a couple weeks ago. The post office has hundreds of vacancies there because they cannot get people to pass the drug test. Everybody that comes in is coming back positive for marijuana because you can walk in and buy it over the counter. So,
and Frank, I'm sorry, but even in New York State before legalization, marijuana in 2019 is so mainstream. I always say this, but I got to say it again. I go out an awful lot. I smell less and less cigarettes, and everywhere I go, and I'm not just talking about low-life places that you think I'd go to. We're talking about fancy places. I smell weed. I smell weed everywhere. So, you know, we play this game of, it's against the law. It's not legalized yet. But in the real world out there, if I had to guess, I would say that about 90% of adults, 60 and younger, are smoking weed on a somewhat regular basis.
But are they now asking for an updated urinalysis? If you had a gun permit 2 years ago, I mean, I understand the Cuomo logic. The Cuomo logic is if I take your gun with medicinal marijuana and then, of course, I make marijuana legal throughout the state, then no one should have a gun. It's the perfect segue. You know, we can crescendo into total confiscation. But when you're applying for a pistol permit, are we expecting what, urinalysis every 2 years? Well, how would you enforce that?
The other situation is, even if it is legalized and people start purchasing marijuana with a credit card at a legal shop, your credit history can be searched and say, oh, you're purchasing marijuana at such and such a store. So we're going to be checking into your firearms license. You know, this can be carried farther than even the medicinal purposes.
So basically, you can be on opiates, and there's no issue whatsoever.
Actually, according to the ATF, there is. Because if you are on any controlled substance, even if it is prescribed by a physician, you are putting your firearms license at risk. Frank, I said yesterday, and maybe you can elaborate on this, my testosterone injections, it's liquid testosterone in a flaxseed oil, okay? And I give myself an injection every week. Testosterone is a controlled substance. Now, it's not a narcotic and you don't get a buzz from it, but you could make the argument that, well, wait a minute, I take a controlled substance, I should lose my permit.
Yeah, that might be a little bit of a reach.
I wouldn't count anything out.
So, yeah, you're correct. I was just going to say that. That's true. They will stretch anything that they want.
So let's say we all, you know, evidently the NRA is going to sit this one out. You know, this has been their strategy from the very beginning when it comes to New York State. They want to focus on Virginia. They want to focus on Colorado. They want to focus on other states that they believe are more in play. What do we do? I mean, obviously, the gun issue when it comes to gubernatorial elections, we cannot motivate anyone outside of Western New York. What are the solutions? Joining groups, what can we do to stop this, Frank?
And Frank, we're going to let you think about that because we have to take a break now on News Radio 930 WBEN, but we want to get that question answered, and we also want to find out what other issues of great controversy came up at last night's meeting of the pro-Second Amendment 1791 Society. We're talking with Frank Panasuk. We're talking about your gun rights and what you need to be aware of with the upcoming legalization of marijuana and the current ability to get a medical marijuana card. Don't do it if you want to keep your guns, because they will take them. Now, stay listening for your chance to win tickets to see The Who. We will give it proper fanfare when it is your opportunity to call in and win those tickets. So stay with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. It is Bowerly and Bellavia. We are joined by Frank Panasuk. Frank is a retired Town of Hamburg police detective. Also, he's a very big guy and kind of like my surrogate bodyguard when Billy Bing isn't near me. So he is with us on News Radio 930 WBEN, talking about this meeting of the 1791 Society, which was last night, which was absolutely jam-packed. A lot of people with a lot of interest in the idea that if you get a medical marijuana card, you are going to forfeit your Second Amendment right. So I'm always saying now, is it really a Second Amendment right, or is it more like a Second Amendment privilege? If something could be taken away that easily because a doctor prescribes something that you medically need and you can still lose your pistol permit over it or any firearm you have, there's something seriously messed up about that. Frank, is it pie in the sky to talk about ideas like declaring Western New York a sanctuary region from Albany's intransigent gun laws?
It's an interesting concept. Maybe that's what it's going to take. In analyzing this whole situation, it's become very polarized in this state. You have the New York City culture that are gun haters. You have upstate where there's plenty of hunting and shooting and gun ownership, and they just do not agree. They are just diametrically opposed to each other on the gun issue. You know, so a sanctuary, I don't know. It's possible. I don't think you would see it in Erie County. But
yeah, I can't imagine Mark Poloncar is declaring Erie County a sanctuary city because he and Andrew Cuomo tend to be in lockstep.
I think they're too busy picking up plastic bags.
You know, I was gang attacked by three plastic bags on the drive into work today. I was able to fight my way through the handles, and that's, you know, there. But for the grace of God, I would not be here. Now, what are the other issues, Frank, that came up during the meeting last night of the 1791 Society? Gun owners out there, about what are they most concerned?
Right now, the rumors that are coming out of Albany about long gun registration has everyone quite upset. People have owned rifles and shotguns for 40, 50, 60 years. And there's rumors that he's going to try to register those and register the owners. The social media bill, where your social media accounts can be reviewed for firearms licenses, people are not happy with that. It's a big intrusion into privacy. There's a number of things going on with the Cuomo administration. Everything they do is geared to restrict or prohibit gun ownership. The recertification program. This recertification program was a farce. All the information that was requested on the recertification was already in possession of the state police and the county pistol permit bureaus. It's really nothing more than harassment of the pistol permit holders. just another excuse. You don't recertify, we're going to revoke your permit, and you can turn in your guns.
Let me just play for just a moment avocatus diaboli, if I may, devil's advocate. If this is all about a quest to take away people's guns, in that most Erie County pistol permit holders did not recertify as they were supposed to do under the law of New York State, shouldn't we expect to be hearing from people who have had their firearms seized for failing to recertify?
That's a good question. There was a deadline. The deadline was reached over a year ago. Nothing has happened that we have heard of. Just the logistics of trying to do it. They don't have the manpower. Routine work coming into the state police is backed up. Every firearms dealer that sells a handgun is required to send in a ticket to the state police for either acquisition or disposition. These tickets are logged into the computer. They used to be kept in shoe boxes at one time, and not too long ago, and that's, I'm not joking. And these tickets are backlogged for months and months because they can't keep up with them. So how they're going to go over every individual, there's roughly, we hear estimates of roughly 1 million pistol permits in New York State. So the numbers, the sheer numbers of trying to do it. How do you get it done? How much manpower can you put on it?
Well, I guess if I was Andrew Cuomo, I'd hire 100 more troopers answerable only to Andrew Cuomo and not the superintendent of state police, who was rumored to be ready to resign if Andrew Cuomo went ahead with that proposal that we heard about last week.
He did resign. That was brewing for quite a while. Over the past several months, there was conflict over the release of these convicted murderers and cop killers. There was conflict over the immigration. There was conflict over the gun laws. And they did not see eye to eye. And Superintendent Beach, from what my information says, was asked to resign. And he did. And traditionally, the number two person would move into the superintendent's position, but the number two and number three person did not seem to please the governor, so we understand that the number four person was moved up to the number two position, which became the superintendent, because he is highly cooperative with the governor's wishes and desires.
So Frank, you know, speaking of number two, you know, when we're talking about the gun laws in New York State, I got to tell you, though, Frank, what are we doing? What are we doing? There are so many people. It seems like we are in a gerbil wheel. Every time someone warns, you know, the next shoe to drop is going to be bad. Oh, it's all conspiracy and rumor. And then guess what happens? We get hit again. And now there's an insurance, which is the Supreme Court told us you can't force people to buy insurance. So that's basically a gun tax. And then it's, it won't happen to long rifles. It'll only happen with handguns. That's all we care about. Guess what? The register of the long guns is coming next. Then it's going to be, you know, every single thing they told us was hyperbole and exaggerated. It always ends up, you've got a Democratic far left assembly, far left Senate. You've got a governor who's basically running left of Stalin for 2020. What do people do in Western New York to push back against these gun laws?
There's if these laws are pushed through, the only solution. Right now, the way the legislature is structured, they can pass anything they want. It, no matter how ridiculous or draconian the law is, they can pass it. The only thing that's going to stop the situation is a refusal by the people to comply with these unconstitutional laws. New York City doesn't care. They will pass anything. They're blowing through laws in that legislature right now. I was talking to Assemblyman DiPietro last night, and he said they went through laws that would normally take 4 to 5 months to pass, they went through in a day and a half. They're just shoving this stuff through in a wholesale fashion because they want to and they can.
I'll say this much about the left, Frank. When they get power, they're not afraid to wield it.
Absolutely. We discussed that, too. You know, federally, there were 2 years to correct some things here in New York with this SAFE Act. You know, we had the White House, the House, and the Senate, and there were several gun bills, and one which originated right here, right in Western New York, right in Buffalo, the Second Amendment Guarantee Act. And Congressman Collins submitted that law, and it sat and sat and sat. Nothing was moved forward. There were several other bills, the Hearing Protection Act, which involved suppressors on firearms, that sat. In Europe, suppressors, a lot of people call them silencers. They're really not silencers. They don't really silence the firearm. They do suppress the noise. In Europe, suppressors are required to cut down on the noise pollution. In this country, they're looked upon as some kind of a evil criminal device. It's got nothing to do with saving your hearing here. It's to rub somebody out at 3 a.m. and nobody can hear the shot.
At least in New York State. Some states, they're actually legal. Frank Panasuk is with us with the 1791 Society. We're going to keep him on for a few minutes. Now, if you've got a question, maybe you weren't at the meeting last night, maybe you were at the meeting last night, you got a question for Frank Panasuk, we invite your telephone call at 803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. That's 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. You may have a question for Frank about which we have not even thought. Also, if you have... we're getting a number of emails on the Buffalo school superintendent saying the Buffalo schools is turned around. We'll maybe get into the Buffalo schools in a little bit here on News Radio 930 WBEN. So in addition to what you have already brought up, Frank, in about 30 seconds, can you tell us the other major issues of great concern last night at the meeting before we take a break and then hopefully get to some phone calls?
Primarily the registration of the long guns, the insurance situation, the carry insurance. We had a situation where the NRA and another group was offering liability insurance in case someone had a problem with a shooting. They would have legal representation. They would have some funds coming there to help in their defense. The governor manipulated the situation and tossed the NRA's insurance out and another association's insurance. Now, after doing that, he comes up and there's been rumors of $1 million liability insurance being required. We don't even think that insurance will be underwritten by an insurance company. I mean, you know, you're going to go to an insurance company and say, I want $1 million liability coverage in case I accidentally shoot somebody because I'm going to carry a .45 automatic around with me at, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning if I go out drinking. Well, what do you think the chances of that policy being written is?
About the same as my being able to get life insurance. In other words, zero. Let you guys in there control the phone boards, Phil. Let's take some calls on WBEN. First up with Frank Panasuk, we have Tim on a cell phone. Tim, with a question for Frank. Go ahead. On line two.
Hey Frank, this is Tim. I'm calling from Marilla. My question is, all this stuff that Cuomo has put forward, is there any statistics or anything indicating that it has a positive effect on what's going on with gun control?
No, not at all. Criminals don't obey laws. That's the nature of being a criminal. So you can put all kinds of regulations down on paper, and getting them to comply is a different story. That's why we have hundreds of police departments across the state.
Let's go to Russ in Depew on WBEN with Frank Panasuk. Russ, go ahead with your quick question.
Yeah, hi, Frank. I actually have two questions, if that's okay. How do we sign up and join the society? That's question one. And the second question was, is the NRA insurance, the insurance they give you, is that good for the insurance that they're trying to put through?
Okay, I'll take the second question first. The NRA insurance has been prohibited by the Cuomo administration from being sold in New York State. They are no longer allowed to do that. The NRA immediately filed a lawsuit, and that is in court at this moment. So that people who had that insurance received letters, and they were told that their policy is no longer in effect.
What legal basis does a governor have for telling a group like the NRA they may not sell insurance in New York State? I mean, where does the authority come?
He made the statement a few years ago that I am the government in New York State. So that's the attitude you're dealing with.
Yeah, Il Duce. And how do people, and thanks, Russ, for the call, how do people sign up for the 1791 Society? You have a website, you have a Facebook page. How do people get in touch?
On Facebook, we are listed as the 1791 Society Political Action Committee. There's a Facebook page for it. At the top of the page, there is a little constitution describing what the organization is about. And at the bottom of that is a printable form that can be printed and torn off and mailed in with a check to the address listed, or they can come to the meeting. We meet every third Wednesday of the month at the Weber VFW post. It's at 2909 South Park Avenue in Lackawanna. It's about 2.5 blocks south of the OLV Basilica, the big church at South Park and Ridge Road. The VFW is directly across from the South Park entrance to the Holy Cross Cemetery. The meetings all start at 7 p.m., and it's every third Wednesday.
Got it. Hey, Frank, I've got a decision that we need to make here. If we have a full board of calls with questions for you, want to hang out till about 4:15 or so to get to find out what people want to know from you and to give them good answers on their Second Amendment concerns?
Sure, I'd be happy to.
Okay, Frank Panasuk with the 1791 Society. So here's the deal, guys. We're going to keep him on till about 4:15, 4:20. So if you have a question, I would strongly suggest calling in now because there's actually one line open now for the first time. So it's 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And we'll keep Frank, as long as there is interest, of course, we'll keep Frank on to answer questions up till probably the latest 4:20.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.